for the White House. Speeches of the 2016 U.S. election.
So this is their all-time record crowd of this place. Can you believe it? Wow. That's terrific. People want to see something great happen with our country. It's very easy. It's very easy. A friend of mine, a great musician, said, you get the largest crowds for somebody without a guitar, which I understand what I mean. But it's simple. You know, we love the country. We hate to see what's happening. And it's going to be changed. We're going to change it. We're going to change it fast. We're going to change it fast. Amazing. So, a couple of things. I have to congratulate you. You have a football team that's doing pretty good. Clemson. Clemson. Doing very well. Doing very well. I've been hearing a lot about them. Can they go all the way? I think so. Maybe. That's great. Good luck. We're going to be watching. Going to be interesting. We're going to be watching. So, big Second Amendment. We're all big, heavy on the Second Amendment. You know, the president's thinking about signing an executive order where he wants to take your guns away. You hear this one? This is the new. Not going to happen. That won't happen. But that's a tough one. I think that's a tough one for him to do when you actually have the Second Amendment. That's tough. Because there's plenty of executive orders being signed. You know that. And we can't let that go on. So it'll all stop. It'll all stop. It'll stop very soon, I think, because people are tired of what's going on and they're tired of what's happening to our country. I wanted to mention, you know, just before I got here, like 10 minutes ago, the Wall Street Journal, NBC, just came out with a new poll. And the headline is, Trump on top, highest points he's gotten so far. I mean, it's number one. Can you believe? Yeah, we're going great. We have the highest number we've had so far, and they just announced, which is hard for them to say that, I have to say. But it's our highest number. We're in number one position. And you have a lot of people that are not doing well in that poll, I'll have to tell you. You have a lot of zeros. You know, zero, zero, zero. Do you know who we have that has a zero? Lindsey Graham. What's going on with this guy? I don't know him, but, you know, he came up to my office. I saw him one time. He wanted a campaign contribution. Shocked. I was shocked to find this out. Long time ago. But he's been so nasty. It's really incredible. Today he was being interviewed, and I see Lindsey Graham. I said, what's he doing? Go back to your people in South Carolina, represent your people, and do a good job, you know. But he said, I didn't want to go to Afghanistan. It's not right. No, Afghanistan is where we should have gone, all right? I didn't want to go to Iraq because I didn't want to destabilize the Middle East, but he doesn't understand the difference between one or the other. And it's proven to be right. It's proven to be right. But we've got to make our military so strong, so powerful, so incredible. You know, it's so important. I say it all the time. So strong, so great, so powerful that nobody's going to mess with us. You've heard it. And we've got to take care of our vets. Our vets are being treated. Our vets are being treated so badly. You know, I brought up the subject of illegal immigration, right? Our vets are being, in many cases, treated not as well as illegal immigrants. You saw the other night. Did you see the debate the other night? Can you believe this? All right? They can't give it away fast enough. Now, what they're giving is going to cost you taxes, okay? That's all it is. But they're talking about, for illegal immigrants, Social Security, so many other things. You know, in Los Angeles, 50% of the people getting driver's license, you get a driver's license in Los Angeles, 50% illegal immigrants. And you have to stop it. And we want people to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. They have to. Have to. When I brought up the subject, as you know, a few months ago, hard to believe I've been a politician for 3 months, right? And for 3 months, people have been saying, no, no, the polls must be wrong. The polls, because practically, not only practically, from the beginning, I've been at the top of every poll, including today. And they had an article written in one, you know, from the time this guy, you know, when are they going to get it in their head? We're doing really well. When are they going to get, like, for instance, the cameras down there, they, you won't see this kind of a crowd, record crowd. The folks that run the arena, they just came to me. They said, sir, this is the biggest crowd we've ever had, by far. They didn't even say close. And I tell people, I go home, my wife sees me, she goes, oh, did you have many people? Because we have crowds like this everywhere. The reason, it's not me, it's the message. It's the message. It really is. It's the message. But they have the cameras. Look, live cameras. CNN, Fox, everybody. MSNBC, everyone. And they have live cameras, but they don't ever scan the room. Because if they scan the room, what happens is you'll see this kind of outpouring, and it's an outpouring of love. It really is. It's an outpouring. Look, they don't want to move. Unbelievable. Oh, it's the thing I've learned most. And somebody said, what have you learned the most? Thank you, darling. I love you too. You know, they said, what have you learned the most? What's been the biggest surprise? And one, and I can't say about all journalists and all of the media, but a tremendous portion of the media is, it's so dishonest. It really is dishonest. They don't report the facts. Now, for some people, they report more than the facts. I have to be honest. You know, they have their total prejudice. And for some people, they report things that are opposite. I mean, literally opposite of what I'm talking about. We had one case recently where we were actually in New Hampshire. We had a we had 5,000 people. We had packed. And this was in a small auditorium. And then they had another one next door. And then they had the kitchen. It was in a school. People filling the kitchen with closed circuit. And then Hillary. She was a few miles literally up the road. And she had, they said, 250 people. We had thousands and thousands of people. We had a crowd like this. No, it's crazy. Crazy. And then I come back, and the next morning she was on the front page of the New York Times. I said, what about me? What about me? But it doesn't matter because everybody understands it. We understand it. We understand what's happening. And believe me, this is a movement. This is a movement. This is really a movement, and it's a big movement, and a strong movement, and we're going to take our country back. It's going to happen. So, I love polls. You know, when I did The Apprentice, I loved ratings, because I always had great, right? And what happened is I said to the people at NBC, who are terrific people, I had a great relationship with them. Of course, in the end, they thought I was too controversial, so they did a number on Miss Universe. So what I did is I bought them out for peanuts and then flipped the whole thing. It was such a great deal. You would have been so proud of me. You would have been so proud of me. Oh, the deal. Oh, the art of the deal. There's nothing like it. But with The Apprentice, it was 14 years, 14 seasons, like 12 years. Did so great, always did great. One of the easiest sells for advertising. So they came up to see me, including the head of Comcast, Steve Burke, who's actually a fantastic guy, head of Comcast, head of NBC, head of reality for NBC, a group of guys, they came up to see me just before I announced I was going to run for president. And they said, Donald, we'd love you to renew. And Mark Burnett called, please renew, please renew. Everybody renews. Nobody doesn't renew. Big actors, big stars, they renew. I said, Mark, I'm not. I'm going to run for president. We're going to make our country great again. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And NBC didn't believe me. They didn't believe me. Nobody believed me. Nobody thought I was going to run. They said, why would he run? He's got a great life. He's got a beautiful family. He's got a great company. Don't forget, when I filed, everyone said, well, maybe he won't file. Maybe he's not as big as we thought. Turned out I'm much bigger. When I filed, they couldn't believe the numbers. In fact, I was going to file even if I didn't run. I'll be honest with you. And I said, you know, because it's all been sort of interesting. And it takes guts to run for president. It really does. It does. Because, you know, you have everybody shooting. I've never done it before. I've never been a politician. I hate to even say I'm a politician. I hate using the expression. I actually keep saying I'm in the real estate business. I just can't get over the politicians. I can't do it. I've made so much money. I've made a fortune dealing with politicians. And, you know, they're all talk. They're no action. They're never going to bring us to the promised land. It's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen. So with NBC, so Steve Burke, the guys, they came in. And they really want me to do it. I said, no, no. And then they said, well, we think you're going to do it. Because I wasn't 100% sure. You know, that final day, I told my wife, man, this is not so easy. And I took a deep breath, right? Sometimes we have to do that in life. And it's really, you know, I've never told this story before. I've so many speeches, so many people. I've never told it. I took a deep breath. And I got on that escalator. You know the famous escalator? Very famous scene where Melania is waving very gently and I'm going, rrr. But the truth is, I took a deep breath because it's something that I've never done before. It's a new experience. And it does. You know, for a politician, it doesn't take guts. That's all they do is they run for office. They run and run and again and run. They win, they lose. Doesn't matter. All they do is run. And what they care about and what they're good at is getting reelected. And we can't have that. We can't have it. We can't have it. And I told that to the folks at NBC. I told that to the folks at Comcast. Great companies. I mean, great friends of mine, great people. In fact, so great that I'm doing Saturday Night Live in 2 weeks. Can you believe this? Can you believe it? I'm looking at these folks back here. There's got to be a big hole right in the middle. What is that hole? I think it's an orchestra pit or something, because I see everybody gathered around a circle. But we're doing something that we did 60 Minutes, as you know, 2 weeks ago. Who was I on with at 60 Minutes? You remember? Putin. He was my stablemate. We got tremendous ratings, him and I. I didn't know who got the ratings, but we got great ratings. They were very happy. So we did 60 Minutes. We're doing Saturday Night Live. But NBC said, no, you're not going to run. You're not going to run. And they renewed the show. Renewed it with me. I said, what are you doing? They said, well, you looked a little bit indecisive. We're renewing the show. And they went to the upfronts, and they announced The Apprentice starring Donald Trump. I said, fellas, I'm telling you I'm going to run. Well, we don't think so. And I said, I'm running. And by the way, we then got Arnold Schwarzenegger to do it. How do you like that idea? What do you think? Okay. I hope he does well. I have a big piece of the show. I hope he does well. He's going to do well. But Arnold is going to do it. But, you know, it just shows you that when you do this, I give up a lot, not just The Apprentice. Deals all over the world. They come in, Mr. Trump, we're doing a deal in China, but you have to be there. I said, I can't be there. I can't be. Would it be okay if I went to China for a few days? You know, the trip, you know how long it is? It's like 24 hours. So you go back, you go forth, you stay there, let's say for a day, I'm gone for 3 days, all right? And it's weird. You say, what time is it? Well, if it's 6 o'clock now, it's 6 o'clock there, but the exact opposite. I say, that's a long time, 12 hours and 20 hours in some cases. So you get back, you don't know where. No, I gave up a lot. I gave up a lot because it's something I want to do. I've wanted to do it. I've thought about it. Last time, we should have won. Romney should have won. He choked. I mean, he choked. No different than a football player dropping the... I don't want to mention that. Let's not give your people... I don't want to give your people at Clemson any bad thoughts. But no different than an athlete. No different. Something happened. A nice man, he's a nice man, but something happened that was not good. Not good for us, and I wasn't happy about it. Because that last month, they all disappeared. They weren't fighting. Say what you want about Obama. He was on Jay Leno. He was on Letterman. He was on every show. I said, where are you people? What happened? Where are you? And they weren't there. Something happened. They disappeared. And it's not going to happen again, folks. I'll tell you right now. Not going to happen again. So they said, just like as I said with The Apprentice, with the ratings, well, I love the polls. Say, well, other people don't talk about polls. You know why? Because they're doing lousy in the polls, okay? But we're doing great. So here's a poll that came out just recently. Trump in South Carolina. Did you ever hear of a place called South Carolina? Huh? Right? South Carolina, Trump, number one by a lot, by 18 points. Can you believe it? We're at 36. We're at 36. And you're sitting senator, I don't want to mention it, but he says, says such terrible things, so nasty. He's at 5. We're at 36. But we have an 18-point lead over the second place. Amazing. In Ohio, you have a nice governor in Ohio, Kasich. We're at 23, and the governor of Ohio is at 13, which is, you know, pretty amazing when you think, right? And he's a good governor. In New Jersey just came out, we're 13. No, I'm sorry, we're 32. When I said 13, I said, what happened? What happened? No, in New Jersey, we're 32. Carson's at 13. And Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is at 5. In Nevada, we're number one by a lot. We're 38. And we're number one by a lot with Hispanics. We're in the 30s with Hispanics. Because I'm going to win. We're going to win the Hispanic vote. You know, we have great relationships with the Hispanics. I employ thousands of Hispanics, and they're great people. And I love Mexico. The problem is their leaders are too smart, too cunning for our leaders. You know, they rip us, and we can't let that happen. In Ohio, I mean, so amazing. In Florida, we're way up. In New Hampshire, we're at 32, and everybody else is way, way down in the teens and far below that. And then we had a national poll. We're OAN. We're at 35. Carson is at 17. That's in second place. And my favorability has moved up to 67, which they say is like a record. I don't know why. You know? They don't know. I'm actually a nice person. And just to finish this, Connecticut, I'm at 34. Second place is 14. Let's have this election immediately. That's the Quinnipiac. Get it going. Here's one that I love. Here's one I love, this one. This came out yesterday. Shocking poll, shock poll. Trump blue-collar support, highest since FDR. That's Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Oh, think of it. I kid you not. Here, for the cameras. Get that, cameras. Highest since FDR in the 1930s. Can you believe that? FDR. That's good. That's a good sign. And you know why? Because they know that we love China, right? We love China. Not going to happen anymore. Not going to happen anymore with China. Not going to happen anymore with Japan. Not going to happen anymore with Vietnam. Vietnam is the new China. We're going to bring our jobs back. We're going to make our own stuff. We're going to bring them back. I mean, we all love Boeing, right? Do we love Boeing? But Boeing made a plane order recently, 300 planes for China. China's making them build a massive, massive plant in China. Why? We're not doing that. When they send their stuff over here, and by the way, I know so much about China. The largest bank in the world is my tenant. I sell apartments for $25, $30, $35 million. Am I supposed to dislike them? I love them. But Boeing now is going to have to build a plant over in China. I don't think that's right. No, I don't think it's right. They're building a massive plant in China. So it's tough. Now, just to finish with what we started. So they break down. You know all these guys? All of the candidates, they have pollsters. You know what a pollster is? That's a person that gets $100,000 a month to tell the candidates what to do, right? If they're so good, why aren't they running for office? You know, when you think. But some of these guys make a fortune, and they're tough, and they're smart. And I think they scare the candidates. I don't want a candidate that could be scared by a pollster, right? You know, they pay them a lot. You shouldn't have said that. I mean, I've seen it. You shouldn't have said that today in South Carolina. You have to say this. Well, I don't really believe in that. Doesn't matter. You have to say that. You want to get elected. Who wants this stuff? You know what? If you can't get elected, you can't. You got to do what's right. So I said, I have known, you know, somebody said the other day, Mr. Trump has spent less money than any other candidate, but he's got the best results. No, think of it. No. It's true. I've spent less money. I have far more money. You know, all these guys, they say, so-and-so raised $3 million today. So-and-so raised $5 million for the month. I got $1 billion. If I have to spend it, we'll spend it. I got much more than that, but I don't want to go totally crazy. And it's going to take us through the primary season. And I don't think, you know, so far I'm way under budget. Nice to be under budget. You don't hear that about government. But think, I thought up until this time, I would have about $20 million spent. I spent like peanuts, a tiny fraction. But I thought I'd have 15 or 18 or 20 spent on advertising. But I'm getting so much. Look at all those cameras. They're all live. No, it's unbelievable. All right. So every time I make a speech, I have all these cameras. Other guys have nobody. They have the local reporter. Here's the problem. You have to make a different speech every time, because when you're on live television, how can you make the same speech every time? So it's, you know, not so great. But what happens, and it's to me amazing, when you're on a show from beginning to end, and then you're on the next show from beginning to end, a little different subject, you know, like this much different. Then you have the next one. Then you turn to another network, and it's Trump, CNN, all Trump all the time. You can't advertise because people would OD on Trump. They get sick. They go and throw up all over. It's too much. It's true. So what happens, it's true. You know, you got a whole thing. They did a thing the other day in one of the networks. And it was like the first 15 minutes. You know, they go about 15, 18 minutes, and then they hit you with the commercials, right? And they did a thing on Trump with this and that. It was full fine. And then they said, all right, we'll be back in just a few minutes. More Trump, we're going to be discussing like a different subject. I said, what? In fact, I like to TiVo it, right? It's impossible to watch because it's so voluminous. You know, normally you'd watch, you'd have like a minute here, a minute there. But you got 1 hour here, 1 hour there. After like 3 hours, you've watched 2.5 shows. You can't do it. So if I advertised, it's too much. Do we agree? Too much. So we'll save the money, give it to charity, we'll do something. Right? We'll do something. But it's the weirdest thing. So I thought I'd have $20 million spent by about today. And we spent nothing. We've actually spent zero on advertising. Now, you take a Jeb Bush. He's in favor of Common Core. He's weak on immigration. And so are most of them. Hey, Marco Rubio, very weak on immigration. Remember the Gang of Eight? You know what the Gang of Eight said? And the Gang of Eight, a lot of Democrats in there, liberal Democrats. The Gang of Eight said, oh, let him come in, let him come in. Well, his poll numbers tanked, and he immediately all of a sudden got away from the Gang of Eight. You know, that's what, you don't want that, because that's false. That's a false messenger. It's really a false messenger. Gang of Eight. What? Oh, medic. Oh, go ahead, take that. That's more important than all of this. Go ahead, a medic. Hopefully they're okay. Are they okay? They're okay? Oh, she just fainted. She's, you know what? That means she was excited. That's okay. Make sure she's good. Those are my best fans. The ones that faint, I love the most. That's fine. Okay, everything good over there? Okay, take your time. Take your time. Make sure she's perfect. I noticed they have a couple of ambulances right outside just in case. But that's great. I love you too. I love you too. I love you too, but I love her, and I want to make sure she's okay. Is she okay? All right, good. I think they're going to be fine. Everything good? Let's get going then. So in the poll, they have, first choice is Trump by a lot. They have on the economy, pretty important, right? Trump, 67. Now, how do you do that? 67. Don't forget, that's with 16 people. We had 17, but as you know, Governor Perry dropped out. And a couple of others dropped out too. So we're actually down to 15, 16. I don't even count. So many people. You go on stage, you got all these people. You don't even know who they are. But on the economy, and you have Governor Walker dropped out, a very nice guy too. Both nice people. Although they tried to kill me, they tried to get me. On the economy, Trump, 67. Second place, like nothing. Illegal immigration. We got to stop. We got to build that wall. Got to build a wall. Illegal immigration. Trump is 55. Second place is 13. Second place. Remember Bush with the act of love? Right? They come for love. He's talking about a different kind of love. Look at this guy. He knows. On foreign policy, Trump 34, second place 12 and 13. On ISIS, I mean, can you believe? We used to have General Patton. We used to have, think of it. And these were unpredictable people. I need unpredictability. We are so predictable as a country. On trade, on military. Remember when President Obama said, yes, we will be leaving Iraq on this date. Right? So the enemy sat back and said, oh, why should we be fighting? Let's wait a year ago. So they go hide. We leave and they knock the hell out of everything. Many of those enemy turned out to be ISIS. We need unpredictability. Can you imagine General George Patton? Think of it. You know what I mean. Right?
Right.
No, I'm watching television and I'm hearing all of these dates. Yes, we're going to attack in 2 weeks. We're going to go from the front. We're then going to go here. Then they attack, and it's brutal because they're so prepared. The whole thing is crazy. But when Obama said, we're leaving Iraq. Now, I said we shouldn't have been in there because it's going to destabilize the Middle East. In all fairness, I was right. You know, I told you, we're going to build the greatest military. We're going to build the greatest. But we got to know when to use it. Because right now, we've spent $2 trillion. Think of it. $2 trillion. Lost thousands of incredible people. Thousands. We have wounded warriors who I love more than anyone. We have wounded warriors all over the place. Yeah, yeah. And you know what we have because of our incompetent leaders? Nothing. Remember I said, look, you're in. Take the oil. They said, that's a sovereign nation. That's sovereign nation. That's not a sovereign nation. These are people that are not very honest people. Believe me, you've seen it. You've seen it. They have taken advantage of us to a fare thee well. I heard one of the candidates I'm running against the other day say, we have to show Iraq that we mean it. We've got to give them a pound of flesh. Do you believe this? We haven't done a lot over the last long period of time. One of the longest. Actually, Afghanistan just turned out to be the longest war for us. The longest war we've ever had. But there were a lot of bad dudes in Afghanistan. We should have been there. Had to stop it. You know, they're right next to a place called Pakistan, right? And you know what Pakistan has. So to a certain extent, you have to know where to go and what to do. But we are going to end up being so strong and so powerful. But we just need some leadership. We got to have the right person. So when I said, take the oil, I was hit with so many people. They said, what a horrible thing to say. You know who's got the oil now? Iran, ISIS. You know where ISIS is funding itself? From the oil that they've taken between Syria and Iraq. Do you know that Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world? Nobody knows that. Do you know that in Afghanistan, and by the way, you know who the biggest buyer of oil is from Iraq? China. I got to hand it to them. I tell them all the time. I have friends. I say, Fellas, you're so smart. They said, oh, yes. You know, they used to tell me they can't believe they get away with this. But now that I'm running for president, said, no, I never said that. I never, you know. But China. So do you know in Afghanistan, very mountainous. And nobody knew this, but Afghanistan has tremendous mineral content. Tremendous minerals. Nobody knew it. Who knew it? And they're great fighters. In fact, they drove Russia into bankruptcy. The Soviet Union went into Afghanistan. These guys fought them forever. It drove them, literally broke up the Soviet Union because of Afghanistan. So we're fighting in Afghanistan, which is okay. But on the other side of the mountain, you have China with massive excavators taking out all the minerals, taking out. They don't fight. They're so much smarter than us. Oh. But I've got guys, including myself, we're going to do so well. We're not going to have it anymore. So China, thank you. Somebody said to me, very interesting. They said, Trump's a great speaker, but his one problem is he speaks through the applause, okay? In other words, people start to applaud, they keep going. You know why? Because I'm so excited about what I'm saying and about making our country great. It's true. It's true. I don't have time to wait for you people. I just don't have time. I want to go. And they say sometimes he'll make a sentence and he won't quite finish the sentence. You know why? Because the people that are with me are smart. They know what the end of the sentence is going to be. It's true. I want to get on to the next sentence before I finish. It's really true. I mean, I say a sentence and I know the rest of the sentence and everybody else. I said, all right, good. Just, you know, in your mind, you're going to. These are smart people. We have smart people. People that come to my rallies are the smartest people. And they know it's true. It's true. It's true. And they know what's going to happen. And they know that we're going to do a lot of cutting, but we're not going to hurt anything. First of all, we're going to save Social Security. You know, people have a contract. People have a contract. And we're going to take care of Medicare, Medicaid. We're going to do things that never. We're going to terminate Obamacare, which is turning out to be a total disaster. Terminate. We're going to terminate Obamacare. I don't know if you've seen your premiums. They're up 35, 45, and 55%. You believe it? And I've been saying that. I know a lot. I have thousands of people. And I understand. It's up. And it was all a lie. 28 times it was a lie. You're going to keep your doctor. You're going to keep your plan. You're going to keep everything. And a lot of the Democrats that approved it got swindled because they would have never approved it if they knew what was going to happen. But we're going to terminate Obamacare. We're going to replace it with something that's going to be great and a lot less expensive for you and a lot less expensive, frankly, for the government. You know who makes the money with Obamacare? I don't know if you know. The insurance companies. They were big, big supporters of Obama. And the insurance companies, and they have artificial lines around every state. So if I have thousands of employees, let's say in New York, and I want to get a plan, I get one bidder. I get like one bid. Now, they'd rather have that than have them have the right to come to South Carolina, New York, New Jersey, Florida, all over the place, and bid against all the other companies. I'd rather have a monopoly in New York or a monopoly in South Carolina or a monopoly wherever it might be, because they're going to make a lot more money, a lot more money. They're going to make so much more money. And that's what they have. They're making the insurance, they're making a fortune. And you see what's happening. And we're going to end that. We're going to end it. And we're going to have a great system. And it's a system that's going to be, for the most part, free enterprise. You're going to have such plans. You're going to have people competing all over. But we got to get rid of the lines. We got to get rid of the lines. I thought it was going to happen last time. It sounded like everybody agreed. Everybody agreed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the lines were approved. The power of the insurance companies. And that's the beauty with me. I don't want anybody's money. They form all these PACs. People pour money into PACs. I don't want them. Don't support them. Don't support them. I think I have like six PACs where people, I saw on television the other day, actually, two nice young guys. They did a pack. I think it was called after one of my books, The Art of the Deal Pack. Nice guys. I think it's probably fine. But I don't know who they are. And they form a pack, and maybe they'll get money, and they'll go out and they'll take ads. Or something. I don't know. The whole thing is so ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I'm not selling myself to special interests or insurance companies or lobbyists. And when it comes time to do the right thing for our country, when it comes time, and when the insurance companies would call up the other, for instance, Hillary, she's got money. She's got $78 million. No. But by the way, it's the way this is. Hey, Jeb Bush is $125 million. You know where he is in the polls? But honestly, money is not as big a factor. That's another thing I've learned. Money is less of a factor because some of these guys have had money. It doesn't. If you don't resonate, if you don't get there, all the money in the world is not going to help. If you're in favor of Common Core, if you're in favor of, you know, weak immigration policies, people want to see our country have a border. They want to see it. And you can have all the money in the world. You can have all the money in the world. It's just not going to help. It's just not going to help. And I'm convinced. By the way, the other thing, and I have to tell you, the other thing I've learned is how smart the public is. It's incredible. I'll have an article, and I don't want to go into some of them, but a lot of them, you know, the few of them where they said, oh, well, this spells the end for Trump. I said something, right? And they said, oh, this is the end. And then a week later, the new polls come out, and I go up 10 points. It's the weirdest thing. Because people get it. They're really smart. And what I've really learned more than anything else, I think, is how smart the public is. These guys can be dishonest as hell, and they are. Not all, but many of them. I'd say, you know, most. They can be so dishonest, and yet the public gets it. It's a beautiful thing to see. Even me, I say, well, you know, you read this stuff, you say, I guess that's the end of me. There's so much for politics. I'm going down to Doral, and I'll fix up a green. You know? All these Doral people. But no, it's serious. And then all of a sudden, the results come in a week later, and it's like incredible. I'll give you an example. So every poll said that I won the debates. I don't know, but I think I did well. I did well. I mean, I was asked horrible questions, nasty questions. These other guys, they're not even being asked questions. Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump. Question after question. I'm saying, what's going on? It's like a barrage. Then finally they get to another person. Mr. Trump said this and that about you. He said you're a sleazebag. Would you respond? And then, Mr. Trump, you will respond. The whole night, it was crazy. It was like a reality show. It was crazy. It's true. It's very unfair. But every poll, Drudge is great. Drudge, Time Magazine, Slate, three, four others that I never, they all had me winning. I turn on the television after the debate. Well, I don't think Donald Trump did too well tonight. I'm saying, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? But in the meantime, then my polls go up. No, there's great dishonesty, unbelievable dishonesty in the media. Unbelievable. The beauty is the people get it. The people are really smart. It's incredible. So I just had that. By the way, just to finish on the polls, here's the one that you'll like. How things work in D.C. Trump, 60. In other words, who's going to change how things work in D.C.? Not good. Although I am building one beautiful hotel right on Pennsylvania Avenue, that I can say. The old post office. You know, in real estate, always get the post office. They were there first. They always have the best locations. That's what I have. But the other one that I think you're like, best chance of winning in November. Best chance, right? Trump, 47. Well, that's pretty cool. So we have right now 93 million people out of work in our workforce. And yet, you know, you see the statistics on the business shows, oh, 5.2, 5.3. It's nonsense. It's not. It's just so bad. It's not that way. And the reason we have all these people, let me tell you, if it was 5.2, 5.3%, we'd have 10 people out here. Although you got a lot of other problems, like the military, the vets. I could go forever. But just, you know, the economy is so important. So we have 93 million people out of the labor force. 93 million. We have, as of now, 50 million people in our country in poverty. 50 million. 50 million people. We have 46 million people on food stamps. Who would think this? Seriously, I mean, who would think it? We have all sorts of problems. We have problems that I don't think we've ever had the problems we've had. And because of the fact that we're not respected as a country, other countries are looking at us as a weak group as weak. So when Putin was on 60 Minutes 2 weeks ago with me, when he was on the show, I watched him very carefully. And I said, hey, he's doing his thing. You know, he's doing his thing. He had such confidence because he doesn't respect our president. He doesn't like our president, but he doesn't respect our president. He goes, this guy, wise guy, he goes, neither do we. That's nice. Who said that? God goes, neither do we. That's very tough. But we're going to have something happen. So Hillary, believe it or not, and I don't think you like her too much. How's she going to do in the state? I mean, how does she do? You know, we're beating her nationally, which is great. I love that. Oh, I love it. But Hillary and, in all fairness, Jeb and Marco said, you know, with the water, wow, 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 so much water. I never saw any human being drink so much water. You know, I did something the other day because I've gotten to watch and see. You always like to see your opponent, your whatever. And I've really watched Putin. And I think Putin can be dealt with. I really do. I think he's just got no respect for what we're doing. He's got no respect for us as a country. He's got no respect for our leader. But I was watching, and if you remember Marco when he was going against the president's speech, you remember that? And he was doing live television. He grabbed the water on the side. I said, what the hell just happened? But we have to be cool. And I envisioned Putin sitting down there and Marco Rubio walking into the room, sweating. I never saw a young guy sweat like this. He's a young guy. I said, are you okay? It's true. At last debate, I said, are you okay? And I see him sweating, and I'm just saying to him, here's Putin. He's sitting down very cool like this, right? You know, again, he's been ripping us for years. He's now saying, who's the next guy? And Rubio walks in pouring sweat. This is not a good poker player. Do we agree? Do we agree? But they said, in particular Jeb and Hillary, they said, we don't like Donald Trump's tone. They used the same word the same day. Tone. My tone. They said, it's too strong, it's too tough, and it's not nice. Well, can you imagine? Well, can you imagine? It's not nice. And they said, what do you think, Mr. Trump? The cameras hit me. They said, what do you think, Mr. Trump? And I said, you know what? I think the opposite. I think that right now you have people's heads being cut off all over where they're being cut off in the Middle East because they're Christians. Because they're Christians. Their head, and for other reasons too, believe it or not. But especially, they're being cut off on television, because they're Christians. We're being ripped by every country in the world, China and Japan with their cars, and Mexico, and every country, Vietnam, Brazil. Name a country. Where do you come from? Name a country. We're losing to everybody. We need a tough tone. A woman came up to me and she said, I love you, Mr. Trump, but I just don't know if you're a nice enough person to be president. And I am a nice person, believe it or not. I have great relationships with people. I help people. I love people. I do. I love people. That's why I'm doing this. I could be doing other things. But she came up, she said, but are you nice enough? And I said, you know, I'm really nice, but I'll tell you, it's not going to be nice. It's going to be competence. I'm really, really competent. This is going to be about competence. We're tired of being the dummy of the world. We're the dummy of the world. We're like the big bully that gets beat up. You ever see a bully get beat up? I had one time, a long time ago, in school, a bad person. And one day, I rapped him, because I'm strong, like some of these guys. And he went out, and all of a sudden, I felt so great. But you know what? When you can do that to a bully, do you ever see a bully unconscious? Okay? We're like the big bully who's unconscious. Everybody's beating us. We don't win anymore. We're going to. No, we're going to. You're going to have, I say it, you're going to have victories coming out of your ears. You may, you will. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. We're going to have great success. You know, we have tremendous potential in this country. So many things have happened, including with new technology, what we found under our feet with the oil. We have such tremendous reserves. We have unbelievable that we never knew we had. We have energy. We can be energy independent almost like immediately if we let them go. You know, we've been ripped off for years by OPEC. And now finally it started. But there were times when we're up to $140 a barrel. $140. And you remember that. And ships at sea are loaded. They didn't even know what to do with it. But it was all a big monopoly. That's come down because there's now so much. Nobody knows what to do. But we can't sell offshore. We can't do anything. There are so many things. We're going to get that $19 trillion of debt. We're going to get that down bad, fast. Fast. We're going to get it down fast. And we're going to get your taxes. You know, I put in a plan the other day. And I said, and you saw it, right? Good. And it's gotten, you know, generally, I mean, among a lot of great groups that I really respect, unbelievable reviews. We're going to simplify. We're bringing down the rates way down. We're really taking care of the middle class, the middle income. Really, really taking care. And it's a dynamic plan, and it's going to turn us. So we have right now, listen to this, $2.5 trillion offshore, money that wants to come into the country. For 3 years, Democrats and Republicans, everybody has agreed, we agree, it should come here. But the taxes are so high and the complexity of getting in because of our stupid tax code is so bad that they can't get it in. But everybody agrees that the money should, $2.5 trillion, I think the number's much higher than that. Now, if we got that money in, $2.5 trillion, what we could do with our roads and with our this and our hospitals and our airports, we're like third world airports. I mean, all over the world I go to airports, the most incredible things you've ever seen. You come home, you land at LaGuardia with potholes all over the place. You land at Kennedy, you land at LAX, you land at Newark. It's like from a different world. We're like a third world country. We're like a third world country. People that used to look up to us now blow us away with their highway systems and their schools. How about our schools? We spend more money per pupil, than any other country in the world, in some cases by double and triple, and we're number 28. You have third world countries that have a better educational system than we do. You explain that, okay? And a part of that is Common Core, which so many people support that I'm running again. So we're going to end that. Big part of it is Common Core. So I look at what's happening. I see what's going on, and I see it so clearly. I see when Japan is selling a friend of mine excavators, and he's always bought Caterpillar, but now he's buying Komatsu. He buys Komatsu because they've devalued the yen to such a level that Caterpillar, and you see what's happening with Caterpillar and others, but they can't compete. And my friend's depressed, and he comes to me. He's a big excavator. He's got a lot of stuff, a lot of equipment, buys a lot of stuff. Always bought Caterpillar. And he comes to me, and he goes, I'm so sad. Why? Because I just ordered a lot of Komatsu equipment out of Japan. It's fine. It's good equipment. Not as good, by the way. It's not as good. A lot of ways, not nearly as good. But it's good equipment. It's acceptable stuff. But he felt badly because he said, all my life I've ordered Caterpillar. Now I'm buying Komatsu because they devalued the yen. Now, China is the king of the history of the world is China for devaluation. They are killing us. Hundreds of thousands of jobs have been taken away from our country. You're going to see it with Boeing. I hate to say it. You're going to see it with Boeing. You watch. You watch. Watch what they do with Boeing. Unless I get in, which case, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But China. So I have friends that are in the manufacturing. One in particular is a great manufacturer. I said, how are you doing in China? He said, it's impossible. we can't do business. We can't get our product in. And he is great. He does the best product, better than their product. And he said, I can't get it in. And when I can finally get it in, they charge me a tremendous tariff. They call it a tariff, you know. So we take all their stuff for nothing, and they charge us tariffs. Now, I believe in free trade. I believe strongly. He said that they make it so impossible to get things in that country that it's impossible to do business. So I'm a free trader, but we have to have smart people. I have the smartest people. I have the people, believe me. I have Carl Icahn, one of the great businessmen, one of the great. Now, how about Carl? I say, Carl, do me a favor. He doesn't want money. I don't want money either. I'm working for free. I'm not taking my salary as president, okay? Okay, believe me. Not that that's a big deal, but I'm not. But these guys are rich guys. They've made a tremendous, because they're great negotiators. They're great negotiators. They're natural. They're natural great negotiators. There's a group, and I'm in that group. There's a group. That's just, they're good negotiators. For whatever, who the hell knows why? It's like you're a great poker player, you're born a great baseball player, you're born a great golfer. You know, there is something to that. And these guys are the best. Some are brutal people. Who cares? Those are the ones I like the best. Because I want them to represent. Some are nice, some are not nice, some are, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Some are overrated. I know them all. But I want these people represented. I could take a guy like Carl Icahn, who was so proud to be involved. He endorsed me the other day. He's so proud to be involved. And I could say, Carl, do me a favor. Just watch over China, the trade deal. Because they're really ripping us big league, Carl. And believe me, it's going to be so great. It's going to happen so fast. Do you know, we've lost for the last 5-6 years almost $400 billion a year with China. Think of it, $400 billion. You talk about straightening out our country. I mean, you don't need too many of those deals to get things moving. Once you get that, you don't need too many of those deals. But we have almost $400 billion a year with China. Japan, $70 billion a year. For what? They sell cars. They bring them in. I always say it. I was in Los Angeles. I see the biggest ships you've ever seen with cars, like the Long Island Expressway. They're coming off the boats. You know, I said, I wonder how many Chevrolets are in the middle of Tokyo. Would you say none? I would say none. It could be none. Number one, the people are nationalistic. I don't blame them for that. They don't want our cars. They don't want our product. We send them beef. We have beef. That's the trade. These ships, you have to see this. I was at the ports. And they're coming off ramps. They're going like 40 miles an hour. Boom, boom, boom. No tax, no nothing. And we can't allow this. And we have all the power. You know, what Obama and his people. I mean, look at this Iran deal with Kerry. Did you ever see a more incompetent deal? And by the way, I hate to say this, folks. Today was the first day it actually kicked in. So now you can't say, oh, gee, let's renegotiate it. You can. I will. Trust me. I love renegotiation. One of my favorite words, renegotiation. But I mean, it's so tough because you're going in with such a negative. We're giving them $150 billion. No wonder they're going to Syria. No wonder they're going, oh, they're killing us in Yemen. They're killing us. We just gave them $150 billion. And they have our prisoners. We don't even get our prisoners out of it. I mean, if you think about this deal, and Kerry and President Obama said, we didn't want to ask for the prisoners because it will complicate the deal. Can you even believe this? No, think of it. Here's what you do. You go and you say, we want our prisoners before we start talking. That's about 3 years ago. And they may say no. No, if you have the right messenger, like if I'm the right messenger, believe me, I'm the right messenger. But if you have the right messenger, when you say it, most likely they're giving. I'd say 90%. I get them. All right, 90%. It's possible we don't, in which case you say bye-bye, because you're not going to make a good deal anyway. Now you double up your sanctions, maybe triple them up, and they'll call within about 2 days. Let's start talking. We don't even ask. Did you see the folding we did in that deal? Every single point we did fold, fold, fold. We tried to get certain things. We lost every single point. And their economy was ready to just die, which could mean revolution and lots of other things, right? But their economy was ready to die. And we're giving them $150 billion. We have 24 days of inspection. You know what you can do in 24 days? I tell my kids, I say, you know, we used to in the old days, I'd paint the garage battleship gray. I always liked battleship gray, shiny color, right? Battleship gray. They can clean it up, fix it up. Because before you get to the 24 days, you have to go through a whole legal process. So the 24 days could be much more. But the greatest of all is where they agreed that they will self-police. They're going to self, Iran. They're going to self-police. So we talked about the prisoners, but the other day they said, we will now negotiate with the prisoners. So the deal's already done. Now they want to open. But they want 19 people. Okay, think of it. They want 19 people, and they want other things. He said, 19 people and other things. You know what the other things are. Lots. And we get three. They won't give us the fourth. They're now going to give us three. They don't want to give us the fourth. We are so stupid that we can allow this to take place. And what it's going to do is lead to nuclear proliferation. It's going to lead to it. Yemen, all these places. Do you think they want Yemen? They don't want Yemen. They want Saudi Arabia. Look at the border. They want Saudi Arabia. And we sit back and let it happen. We can't. We don't have. I'm telling you, I will straighten things out quickly. But you don't have that much time. You don't have that. You can't go another 4 years with Hillary. It's the same thing with Hillary. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't go because it's going to be the same old stuff. It's going to be dishonesty. It's going to be all of the stuff that you're watching. The emails. How does anybody... Petraeus gets a 2-year suspended sentence. And he was a general that everybody liked for doing 5%. I don't think anything's going to happen to her because she's being protected by the Democrats. I don't think they're going to let anything happen to her. It's hard to believe. I mean, if that was anybody else, if that were some Republican, the clinker would have been shut about a year ago. It's true. I don't think it's going to be a big point, but I don't think anything's going to happen. So we have so much to do. We actually can do it fast. We can get things going. I move quickly, honestly. We're going to get things going quickly. What we can't do is go another 4 years. If we go another 4 years with this kind of mentality and thinking, we're not going to have our country back. We're not going to have our country as we know it. We're just not. It's so important. We're just not going to have it. So, it's such an honor being here. And you know, I have to tell you this. I love you too, darling. Oh, look at you. Whoa. I love you too. I love everybody in this room. I really do. So, you know, I've said it. That the American dream is dead, but I'm going to make it bigger and better and stronger than ever before. We're going to get rid of regulation. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to get rid of the Obamacare. There's so many things. We're going to strengthen our military. We're going to take care of our vets. They have to be taken care of. We're going to do all these things. And I always say it. And I tell the story every once in a while where I go home, where I say, the American dream is dead. But we're going to make it bigger and better and stronger than ever before. My wife goes, I go, it's true. It's true. But here's what happens. I go home and I see my wife and she sees it on television. And she says, darling, that's so terrible what you said. I said, what? You said the American dream is dead. I said, I didn't say that. I said, it's dead. We're going to make it bigger and better. Oh, well, they cut that off. And I go check the television. They cut it off. It sounds terrible. But it is true. The American dream is dead, but we're going to make it bigger and better and stronger than ever before. Ever, ever, ever before. And I'll tell you what, and it's a big promise, but I will do everything in my power to do it. We're going to make America great again, but we're going to make America, I think, and I really believe, greater than it's ever been before. I really mean it. I really mean it. So I want to thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, everybody.